Well, this week we are not going to continue in our Exodus series. I say we're going to take a break from something quite often, but today I felt this week was something a little bit different. And normally I don't stray from our series, but I had intended to continue in our Exodus series, but in light of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and the school shooting in Colorado that occurred only an hour later, and even story from days earlier of the poor Ukrainian girl who lost her life being murdered on a train in Charlotte, North Carolina. Come Thursday, my heart felt very heavy, just with the weight of the violence and the evil that we face in our world today. And that we've been facing for a long time now. And I saw, you know, many of your posts on Facebook and different things, and just hearing as well just the weight that we feel coming from our news. I felt we needed to do something different today. And I'll be honest, I wasn't a follower of Charlie Kirk. I saw his videos pop up once in a while, but I was never really invested in what he was doing. I didn't agree with everything that he said. And so this isn't a Charlie Kirk tribute or anything, but I do want to honor the fact that he was a brother in Christ who stood up and spoke for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ unapologetically, and the world took offense to it, to the point of taking his life, and I do want to honor that. I know that his death and, you know, this general flood of violence through our media has us grieving. It should have us grieving, feeling that weight. It probably has us fearing, you know, what is coming next in our world. Has us wondering how do we respond to this? What should we do? What do we do? What can we do in an incredibly violent and evil world? And yes, these are all events, and these things are all, you know, all took place in America. And as we've prayed already this morning, their state of society in general, especially politically, is of great concern. But the decline of morality and the seeds for violence in America, I will argue, are just as present in Canada as well. And there's clearly no way for us to escape what is taking place south of the border. On our phones, and I would argue that our lives and the fates of our nations are inextricably linked. The more that we spend time on our phones, the more you are faced with the violence of our society. It's right at our fingertips with just a couple of swipes. You know, what we once knew as a culture protected by morality and Christian values, It has now fallen to evil and wickedness. You can't open your phone without inadvertently seeing someone actually being murdered, or at the very least witness the truly horrible things that people will say to and about one another. And we don't even need to look beyond our own community. There's plenty of evil, and you can find in the comment sections of the Facebook group, What WTF Dawson Creek. It's here just as much as it is everywhere else. Violence has always been present throughout our history. Ever since the fall of man and Cain killing his brother Abel. There is a pattern that we have seen, we've been even tracing throughout Genesis and Exodus, and that we will even see, you know, throughout the rest of history as well, of humans moving further and further away from the moral laws that God has written on their hearts. And as societies, nations, empires, you know, move away from God and move away from the foundations of morality, you know, falling deeper and deeper in acting in evil and wickedness, those societies, those cultures, those nations, those empires eventually fall to their own destruction. I don't know what God has in store for our North American countries. Jesus could very well be coming very soon. And all the evil in this world could meet its reckoning in that moment. Or perhaps that is still to come later. But if the pattern of history or the fall of morality and the rejection of God and society tells us anything, God will hand these nations over to their own evil, and it's going to bring about their own destruction if we continue in this way. Unless, of course, they repent. Now, is the death of Charlie Kirk going to spark larger change? Will it start a movement that moves a country to repentance? I hope so. Or will it fuel more violence? We don't know, but time will tell. A poll taken in America showed that in 2024, 1 in 4 people in the U.S. believe that political violence is acceptable and justifiable to achieve what they would define as success in saving their country. 23% of people say violence would be okay to achieve what they want politically. That's a staggering number. In 2021, that number was 15%. That doesn't tell you about the rapid increase in our acceptance and justification of violence today and what we are seeing clearly on our phones. And while most of these people would probably not actually act in this kind of violence, this growing anger and attitude towards violence is fueling what people treat, or fueling the way that people treat and the way that they speak to one another disrespectfully. It fuels the anger and the disrespect and the violent outbursts that people have in their homes with their families. It removes any guardrails for those who are mentally fractured and unwell, fueling them to think that violence is not just okay, but necessary and encouraged to make a change. And it's giving fuel to our socially untrained youth and our young adults who have found no hope in this world to take a gun and to hurt and kill as many people as they can because they are hurting and broken and alone. So how do we handle this? What do we do? Where can we find hope in times of this? What can we expect moving forward? It feels so heavy. It feels impossible to carry. Scripture gives us these answers, and I believe that we would benefit greatly today, at least from a reminder of the words found in Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to read there. And after I finish reading, I'm going to say, "This is the word of the Lord." And I'll ask you to respond in saying, "Thanks be to God." Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Paul writes this, says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may also declare it fearlessly as I should." This is the word of the Lord. In the face of evil that we regularly face today, we need to protect ourselves and we need to stand firm. Our world, for some reason, fails to recognize it for what it is, but it's clear to us that evil is real and it is present in this world. And yes, these evil acts are committed by fellow humans. And it's easy for us to see these people as our enemy. But Paul tells us that the battle is not with one another. That we're living in a spiritual war in which there are forces beyond us that are pulling us into acting wickedly. As we saw in verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In other words, we do have a choice to act the way we do as humans. And the battle for all of humanity is to fight against the evil powers that tempt us to act wickedly and instead make the choice to do what is right and good and pure and holy. And while it is people that do evil things and even might position themselves as our enemies, setting themselves against us on purpose, our battle is not with them. For they are lost people as we once were, in need of Jesus. Our battle is with Satan and his armies that continue to hold these people in sin and tempt us to act against our Lord and Savior. And in this demonic spiritual, it is this demonic spiritual influence that we are to stand against. And how we stand against it also determines how we interact with those who commit evil in this world. This is important. As we see in our passage, we're called to protect ourselves in this spiritual battle. So we can stand against the devil's schemes, to put on the full armor of God. And this is so that we would not let sin into our hearts, into our lives, and act wickedly. I'll ask, do you put on the full armor of God? Have you been putting it on? Do you put any of it on each day? Evil is abundantly present in our lives, in our everyday lives, more so than at any time, or more so today than at any time in our lives. The Colorado school shooting that took place this week was the 47th school shooting that has taken place across the U.S. in this year alone, across K-12 schools and post-secondary institutions. And yet, I don't know how you felt, but it might have just felt like another headline this week. We become numb to these statistics, desensitized. We barely even flinch at these headlines anymore because they keep coming so quickly and we are just wondering when the next one will take place. But the truth is our souls were not made to handle and process the amount and the depths of evil that we see throughout our media today. We can't bear it or handle the weight of it, especially on our own. And we cannot allow ourselves to become numb to evil. Paul is saying we must protect ourselves from it. Yet it almost seems like nothing as we scroll through social media on our phones, every video potentially letting something sinister into our hearts. And yes, I'm sure that many of you have some good, wholesome content that comes through whatever social media that you use. But I would bet that half or more of that content that we consume that filters in with it is desensitizing us to the profane and the evil in our world. We're used to it. It's not shocking us like it should. The idea of putting on armor is that it protects us. What does a helmet do? It protects our mind. What does a breastplate do? The idea is that it protects our heart and our other vital organs. And in a job, and in a world that is so blatantly evil, we must do a better job of protecting our own hearts and minds. Because when we allow in that content, that evil to come into our minds and into our hearts, even just through watching a video clip inadvertently, and I'm talking about anything violent, sexual, profane, dark, whatever that is, when we let that in and we let ourselves become desensitized to it, we are allowing ourselves to be open to being tempted to act sinfully as well. We are normalizing it in our lives. We all need to be protected and able to stand. We may not be aware of the ways in which we are letting evil take its foothold in the doors of our lives. All Satan needs for us is to be desensitized, to start making little choices that seem harmless, just to have us move to making bigger choices that we feel like won't hurt anybody else, especially if they don't know. And perhaps what we don't want to admit to ourselves is even if those are left unchecked, those choices in sin can become something even more evil and horrendous. We are all capable of horribly evil things. I know it even in my own soul. That flesh side of me could be capable of so much worse. Affairs in a marriage don't happen by accident. They happen because of a series of choices. Nobody falls into bed with somebody else. People who get caught with child pornography do not start in the depths of that arena. They got there through an ongoing series of choices being pulled deeper and deeper into the influence of evil. Every porn addict has the capability to break that boundary and just click on something even more horrific than before, to go deeper. We have to find a way to protect our hearts and our minds from the stuff that we find on our phones and the stuff that is simply shared with us through our modern media. We can't allow ourselves to become numb to it because it is so much easier for Satan to let us cross into that world of sin when we begin seeing it as something normal. And I also do want to make a point as well of cautioning everybody against the use of AI. Everyone, every advertisement that you will see will tell you about how helpful it is and how productive and efficient one can be with the use of AI. But I firmly believe that there is nothing redeeming about artificial intelligence. Nor should we try to find a way in which to redeem it. I do believe that AI is... Do I believe that AI is inherently evil in itself? No. It's technology. But I do believe that the principalities and powers of evil are using it extravagantly for their purposes. To deceive you regularly, whether that's with videos, with people saying something from somebody else's voice. 1 year ago, a teenage boy in Florida took his own life because he decided to confide in an AI chatbot about all of the things that he was feeling. And the AI counseled him essentially to go through with the suicide. That's evil. Understand that the depths of evil are at your fingertips. And that they are at the fingertips of our children. We have access to the absolute most depraved parts of humanity. And evil at the press of just a few buttons. And if your kids have phones, they know how to access it faster and in greater quantities than you do. We must put on the full armor of God. We have to be proactive. We have to be intentional about this. We have to protect ourselves from attack, and we must protect our children. And we must protect one another in our churches from letting the evil in our world permeate our hearts and minds. Evil is present, and Satan wants to attack anything that is associated with Jesus. So how do we respond to the evil in our world? When someone is used by Satan to persecute, to attack, or even to kill someone who proclaims the gospel of Jesus, or just does something evil against someone else. Paul tells us that in this spiritual battle, we are to stand against Satan and his attacks. But what does that look like? As I've looked at the various responses to the death of Charlie Kirk, and even some of the other deaths that we have seen this week, there have been some Republican politicians who, although claiming to be Christians and stand for biblical values, and even admit that they are to love, that they know that they are to love their neighbors, are continuing to turn this into a battle of we versus them. The right versus the woke left. They're turning what is a spiritual battle, continually twisting it back into a battle of flesh and blood. And that's something I find to be a danger in the realm of Christian nationalism. It can be very easy to twist that. You know, that these are the people, what they stand for and who they are, that they need to be destroyed because they are evil and that they stand for what is evil. Now, I don't think that when Paul says that we need to stand against the powers of evil, that he means that we need to be the people, to fight the people who have wronged us. He says that the battle is not with our fellow humans who are made in the image of God, that this is a spiritual battle. We should always be shocked and grieved when human life is taken. And we should also have the attitude that the man who shot Charlie Kirk, or the man who stabbed that poor girl on the train, shouldn't be killed in return either. That we should not wish their death. They may be considered an enemy, but they are made in the image of God. And they hold value and purpose. Our God loves them, and they are lost souls in need of salvation. Matthew 5, 38 to 48. You can turn with me there as well. Jesus tells us, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person." Do not resist an evil person, he says. "If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go to 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. And give to the one who asks you. And do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." See, in the light of the violence and what we see in our media lately, this should hopefully calibrate our response. As followers of Jesus, we are not to play into Satan's game of fighting against one another. We are to show the most abundant, gracious, forgiving love. We are to love our neighbor, not just our neighbor whom we might even like or even dislike a little. We are to love our enemies. We are to love the evil person. We are to show them the love of Christ. We are to pray for them in hopes that they would repent and know Jesus, in hopes that they would see that example as well as through our words, through our actions, through our social media posts and our comments. All of these things would be an example, would be the example of Jesus' love to those who would make themselves enemies to us. And so where do you sit today? As you look at the world, the violence, the injustice, and the evil around us, are you protecting yourself? Are you covering yourself with the full armor of God? Are you protecting your heart and your mind from the evil that can be found so readily on your phone, your computer, or your TV? And honestly, if you open up one of your social media apps and the algorithm is automatically playing videos of people being murdered, you should delete that app. Don't open yourself up to that. We can't handle it. Put a blocker on your computer. Put a blocker on your phone. Covenant Eyes, they help. These things filter out some of the bad. Not all of it, but they help. We shouldn't be letting these things fill our minds and our heart. If your phone is automatically playing videos or ads that are directing you to AI chatbots or some kind of pornography, you need to delete that app. If you have young children, do not let your kids have unfiltered and unsupervised access to the internet or to AI. Protect them at all costs. Candace and I were just talking this week about kids going off to school on the bus. My nephew started kindergarten this year, and he's riding the school bus as a four-year-old. And for Candace was fairly shocked at this and appalled, and I thought, what's the big deal? I rode on the school bus at 5 years old. But today, where is there a more unsupervised place for children with cell phones in the internet to expose one another to the evils of this world at the youngest of ages? To see people being murdered. To see the depths and the depravity of evil in humanity. Parents of young adult children and youth, check on your kids. These are the generations that are struggling with the most through all of this. I don't know if we've seen, but most of the acts of gun violence that we are seeing in the United States are happening from teenagers and young adults. They are struggling to find community and belonging in a generation that doesn't know how to have real face-to-face relationships with one another. Your kids are seeing the worst of humanity on their phones and to an even greater degree than we are. Speak to them about it. Check in on them. And how about our response to the evil person who wrongs us, our brother or sister or someone innocent? I encourage you to look into your heart and discern how you are feeling and the thoughts that you have in response to the evil person. I encourage you not to condone violence. Don't let the principalities and powers trick you into thinking that an eye for an eye is okay. Don't let Satan deceive you into thinking that political violence would be okay to solve our problems today. I know that we've had these thoughts. I know that many of us have struggled with these thoughts. I know I have at times. I know some of us have even voiced some of these thoughts before, making offhand remarks about wishing or thinking that a certain person, political leadership or power, you know, should be killed. Maybe things would just be different. We need to repent of those thoughts and those words, for they do not reflect Christ. And even now, as we watch and witness what will take place with Charlie Kirk's killer, and even the man who murdered that poor girl, or any other act of violence that we're going to witness through the news in the days ahead, remember that we are called to pray. To pray for those people. To pray for the evil person that they would be freed from their slavery to sin and find freedom in Jesus. And that they would receive the forgiveness that Jesus had us offered abundantly. And that they would receive that forgiveness from all of us who call ourselves Christians. Remember, the depths of evil are literally at your fingertips. Remove yourself from it to become resensitized as much as possible. Not that we would just bury our heads in the sand and remove ourselves from society as Christians, but so that we can be better equipped to be God's light in a very dark place. Don't give the darkness a place to set up shop in your heart and mind. See, both Jesus and Paul tell us the same thing in these two passages. Jesus said, be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. And Paul says, put on the full armor of God. We can't do either of those things without Jesus, without the divine help of our Lord. And I liked how Klein Snodgrass put it in his commentary on Ephesians. It says, put on the full armor of God. Recalls the command in chapter 4, verse 24, to put on the new self created to be like God in true holiness and righteousness. Putting on the new self is in essence the same as putting on the full armor of God. The armor of God can be understood as the armor that God provides, the armor that God himself wears, or even the armor that is God himself. We're called to be clothed in Christ. We cannot be clothed in Christ or clothed in the full armor of God without Christ himself providing us those clothes and that armor for us. For he is the one that clothes us in his holiness and righteousness, not our own. He is the one who girds us with the belt of truth, who makes us ready with his peace, and he is the one who gives us faith in him so that we may have a shield to be protected from attack. And he is the one who has given us salvation and his word and his spirit living within us. But that does require us to be mindful and intentional in coming to Christ to put that on each day so that we may be protected. It requires action. We cannot just continue to go the way we go because we are opening ourselves to attack. And so when you feel like you're losing hope in the midst of all of the violence and the evil in this world, on top of all of the other things that I know you guys are dealing with, just through the test of life itself, find your hope and securement in Jesus and in the armor of God that he provides for you. And stand firm in the gospel, knowing that the hope that is coming, knowing the hope that is coming, that he has already given you. And after all of that, continue to stand firm. And keep in mind, if you are struggling to find hope at times, those who do not have Jesus to cling to and lean on are struggling in this world so much more. Be their light. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about it fearlessly. Because they need the hope. Whether they are your neighbor or your enemy, give them Christ's love and forgiveness. That is what we are called to do in a world full of sin and evil. We're called to love our neighbor and show them Christ's love. Love the people, stand against the evil, protect yourself from attack, and stand firm on the gospel of Jesus. And pray, pray, pray. Pray that we may all have the words given to us so that we may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that we may declare it fearlessly as we should. And as we wait for Christ to return, let us continue to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Father, I thank you. As we feel the heaviness and the weight of the evil in the world around us, may we cling to you. Lord, that you would clothe us in your armor. You would clothe us in yourself, protecting us from the attacks of the evil one. God, I pray that we would take this very seriously. That we would not leave here today Lord, being tricked by the evil one, thinking, well, what's the big deal? It's just social media. You can handle it on your own. God, we can't handle it on our own. Lord, convict us. Help us to have the conviction, Lord, to stand up for ourselves, for our family, for those around us. Lord, and to put the access to the evil away. Lord, that we would protect our hearts and minds. But Lord, also that we would be able to stand firm, to stand strong. Lord, in you, in this world, in a world of darkness, and be your light, that our light would shine before others. Lord, that we would love our neighbors, that we would love our enemies. Lord, that there would be no way in which they can accuse us otherwise. Lord, that we would just know, we would know the love that you have so deeply for us. That you gave your life so freely for us, that we would be saved from our slavery to sin and give a new life. Lord, help us to boldly proclaim that to this world, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our enemies. God, be your light through us, we pray. In your name, amen.